If you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me today to the book of St. John chapter 11. The book of St. John chapter 11. Now, normally most people would go to the book of Mark chapter 16, talking about on that day of the week when Jesus rose from the dead. But you know, I begin to think about, Lord, what would I minister this Easter day? This whole Palm Sunday Easter week. What could I say? Why was Jesus so assured that he would raise from the dead? That he would come out of that tomb? Well, you know, it looked like he did a little practicing first. He kind of practiced first on some dead people. He said, if I can get them out, I can get me out. You ever thought about that? So the title of my sermon today is Dead Man Walking. Glory to God. Dead man walking, live man rising. Praise the Lord. Dead man walking, live man rising. It dawned on me, you know, Jesus never once had any doubt at all that he would come out of the grave, even with that big stone put in front of him as a problem. So I got to thinking, you know what? He said, hey, man, I got to do this to someone else before I do it to myself. And he had some wonderful friends named Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Three people that totally enjoyed his ministry, who helped him financially in many different things, who gave to his ministry. But one of his friends got sick, and we know the story. He really got sick bad. I don't know what happened. Something happened to his body. And people were worried about it because they knew Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. In St. John chapter 11, people were telling Jesus that Lazarus was having troubles. And in verse 11, these things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus is sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Now, most people would misunderstand that scripture. They said, Lord, gee, why would you say that? To the intent you may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Look at verse 16 that a lot of people miss. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, this is called Doubting Thomas, unto his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. We always think of Thomas as doubting. Because Thomas did doubt. But here he says, man, if he's going to die, we're going to die with him. So he really was a good man. He just had a weakness that happened to be recorded for centuries. Beware where you make mistakes. It'll have to be recorded for millenniums, actually. Verse 19, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha said, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, you have to take some great faith to say that. She really believed in Jesus. She said, if you'd have been here, you a miracle worker. My brother would not have died. In other words, she believed that Jesus had the ability to heal the sick, but maybe not the ability to raise the dead. I want you to see the difference there. See, there's different levels of faith. Some people have the faith to heal the sick, but ain't too many people got the faith to raise the dead. And she says it there. You can see that in her thinking in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, she was doing good. She said, I know you can do just about anything. Because if you ask God, God gonna give it to you. Now, why did she think that? Let's think for a minute. Maybe because you heard Jesus said, anything that I ask my Father, he will do. How many times you've said that? Were you as assured of saying that as Jesus was saying that? So he just knew that his Father was not a gamble, but an assurance. You see, that's how you know when people are really growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ, when they don't see Jesus as a gamble or God as a gamble, but as an assurance, knowing instead of believing. You go back to the Old Testament of Abraham. He said, I consider not, I stagger not, and I'm fully persuaded. Why? Because he not just believed in Jehovah, he knew God. Look what Jesus said in verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Pretty simple, isn't it? Now watch Martha. Here it comes. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again. Then she puts a limit on it, or a timetable, in the resurrection at the last day. Now she just said that if you ask God, he'd bless you. She had the ability to believe that Jesus could heal her brother, but I don't know about raising her brother. Because that's taking it to the extreme. Now, did you see the difference there? I want to kind of say that. Now, I'm trying to talk a little slower for the people that are translating me in Spanish and many other languages. They always say, Brother Jesse, some of your words, we just speak in tongues. And people go, they bow their heads. Glory to God. She says, well, I know. She wasn't believing now. She believed in the resurrection. I know that he will rise in the last day. She put it in the last day in the resurrection. Now, she also said, you know, if you wouldn't have been here, he wouldn't have died because I knew you could have got rid of the sickness. Now, death, a horse of a different color. Jesus said unto her in verse 25, I am. Now, we could stop right there. I am. Not I might be. Or I don't know. Because you never know what the Lord going to do. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. He said, I am. The resurrection, comma. In other words, pause. Think about it. I am resurrection. I am. Not I don't know. We're going to pray, and if you got enough faith. No, you dealing with resurrection now. I am. The resurrection, comma. Then he separates that. And the life, colon. Really pause, sit down, think about that one. Because there's something more than resurrection. There's something called life. I am the resurrection, comma, and the life. Pause, think. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believeth in me, and whosoever, verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he asked the question, believest thou this? Notice that he want to know what you think. We always want to know what God thinks. God wants to know what we think. Do you believe that? Jesse, do you believe that I'll bless you in the city, bless you in the field? Do you believe that if you happen to physically die, that I won't keep you in that grave? You believe that, Jesse? So he said, Martha, believest thou this? Or what do you think about that, Martha? I'll let you read the rest of the chapter. Verse 34. Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35. Jesus wept. Now, you know, Jesus was a man of like passions as we were. He wept. He saw Martha sad, Mary sad. And verse 36 proves it. Then said Jesus, behold how. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Go over to verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. There's always a problem when you're about ready to do a miracle. There's always something in the way when you're about ready to exercise your faith. See, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. You got to remember, men will always put a stone there. God will always roll it away. You see what I'm saying? Men will try to shut you up and shut you down. God will roll the stone away and let you breathe and walk. Verse 40. Well, let's read verse 39. I love this part. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister, him that was dead, still thinking, this is a little nuts, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he thinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Well, if you think Lazarus stunk when he was dead 4 days, I was dead for 24 and a half years. Don't you think I stunk? The time factor has nothing to do with God. Well, what about if there is no body and someone's been cremated? What will happen then with all the little vessels and the little vases? God don't have a body to raise. Well, if he started with dust, he can start with dust again.
problem with dust. It don't make no difference if the sea has annihilated all the bones, all those wonderful people in the Arizona and Pearl Harbor. I tell you, if the people were born again, they're going to be about 1,100 coming out of there, bless God, like you've never seen, fully clothed and full of body spirit. Verse 40, said not I unto thee? I wish people would hear when Jesus talked. That if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. So he kind of reprimanded her. Finally, he just had enough of all that. In verse 43, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, title of this message is Dead Man Walking. Glory to God. Came forth. But see, you can come out of the dead, but you're still bound. See, you can have a resurrection, but do you have life? He was still bound. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound. Look how many times the word bounds in verse 44. About with a napkin. Jesus saith unto who? Unto who? Them, not him. Loose him and let him go. It is the responsibility of the church. It's God's responsibility to raise you from the dead and give you life. It's the Christian responsibility to loose you and let you go so you can fly like an eagle. It's time for us to say, wait a minute. Churches are not designed by God to put ropes and chains. God is not into legalism as the church is. God said, I'll set you free, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Somebody shout, somebody. Did you see that? It's my responsibility every day to have a loosening and a letting go. I live for Jesus daily, not just Easter Sunday. Jesus said, I am, not I will be, the resurrection. He made this known, this great truth, by direct statement. Jesus is a very direct man. Dead man walking, live man rising. You see, the reason why Jesus knew he'd come out that grave, because he already done practiced it on Lazarus. But let me tell you, even if you're raised from the dead and everybody see it, and bless God, you think they would shout, but they'll try to kill you again. How do you know that? Chapter 12, verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. They said, good Lord, we're going to have to kill him again. See, there are a lot of people have been trying to kill me, but bless God, I made up my mind. I'm a free man. You can get mad at me. You ain't got to believe in prosperity. Well, just go back to your house, your old broke self. Praise God. I made up my mind that God would bless me in the city, bless me in the field, bless me going in, bless me going out. That I would be healed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. That life and death would be my decision. Not cancer, not diabetes, not high blood pressure, not any of that kind of junk. Glory to God Almighty. That's the God I serve. A resurrected God. A living God. An Easter God. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm going to buy this tape myself. Woo! Hallelujah. Dead man walking, live man rising. Notice something about death. Write this down. No one ever died in the presence of Christ. And no dead body remained dead when he approached it. Think about that for a minute. Let me say it again. No one ever died in the presence of Christ. And no dead body remained dead when he approached it. One time he accidentally broke up a funeral. Just happened to be walking down the road. You know how it is. You drive and all of a sudden you see a funeral. You stop. You pull over. They got lights on. You respect the dead. You respect the living.
Jesus broke up. He approached the dead body and blew the whole thing to pieces. All the flowers, everything that was bought. He said, get up. The boy got up and said, go back to your mama. She said, we're going home with my son. See, because when he approached the dead body, it didn't stay dead. 1974, on Labor Day weekend, about 8:45 at night, Jesse Duplantis, who was then Jerry Jackson, the rock entertainer with hair, long chocolate brown hair, who was a dead man, but the Lord began to approach me. Praise God. And as he approached me, I rose from the dead. I resurrected, but I didn't have life yet. I had just resurrected. I was a dead man walking. See, then God breathed the breath of life, and I became a living spirit in the power of the resurrection. Let me say it again. No one ever died in the presence of Christ. And no dead body remained dead when he approached it. See, death cannot break the continuity of Christian life. Write that down. Death cannot break the continuity of Christian life. See, we're all in the creed. This is Martha's creed. Listen, I know he arise in the last day on the resurrection. Creeds are good, but let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Creeds are good for the memory. Christ is good for the heart. I want more than a memory. I want something that's touching the heart. You know, theological creeds are good for the memory. And God said, what about what? And God does. And God will. And it's not good English, and God do. You got the point. Praise God. Creeds are good for the memory. Christ is good for the heart. See, the life of faith will survive the shock of death. The life of faith. I've had some people say, y'all the happiest people at funerals I've ever seen in my life. And it wasn't a jazz funeral. Because we know they're going to rise again. The city of New Orleans, which is kind of strange, is known for its cemeteries. Known for its architecture. We got some fine graves. We got some graves that are more expensive than most people's houses. We got some dead people buried in class. I mean, some of the fine people, love the cemetery. In fact, Pastor John and Diana Hagee came and we all went to dinner and I said, well, I'll take you anywhere in the city of New Orleans. Where would y'all like to go? What would you like to do? They said, take us to the graveyards. The graveyards? Yeah, we heard about those, so we took them. And they just couldn't get over it. Some of the things are the most amazing things. But the thing that's strange, so strange about me, cemeteries are empty. There's no one in them. There is nobody in a cemetery. Why are you afraid of a place where there's no one at? There's nobody in cemeteries. Do you understand that? No one lives in a cemetery. Nobody is there. Whether you go to heaven or go to hell, your spirit's either in hell or heaven. There ain't nobody there. That's why it's quiet. But one day, it's going to be the noisiest place you've ever seen. You know why? Because life's going to connect. It'll be the resurrection of the righteousness and the resurrection of the wicked. I don't care how bad you are. You can be lost as a goose in a fog. One day you will stand before God and make an accounting for what you did. And he don't care if you've been dead 2 billion years. You're coming out. Think about that. Some of y'all will be standing in right next to you. Might be a Neanderthal. Whoa, what you? Who knows? You can't prove it's true. I can't prove it's not. Cemeteries are empty. I was so afraid of cemeteries. Graveyards used to freak me out because I always had to go borrow sugar from my Aunt Eula. And I had to pass the graveyard when I was about 5, 6 years old. Mama said, go get some sugar from Aunt Eula. I said, I don't want to, Mama. She said, why? Well, don't you like Aunt Eula? I said, it's all them dead people between us and Aunt Eula. I don't like graveyard, Mama. Oh, boy, shut up. Go over there. I was scared. And I was a little chubby boy. So I couldn't run fast. My brother, my oldest brother, Wayne, that boy, pray for Wayne. He ran out the back of the house and ran into the graveyard, got on top of a tomb. Here comes Jesse. Oh, Jesus, I'm scared. My brother jumped off the top of that thing, went, rah!
Fat and all, son. He ain't never seen the speed, fast grease lightning like you ever. He could always outrun me. He couldn't catch me. I was gone. I said, there's a dead person look like my brother. I'm gone. I got the Aunt Eula's. She said, what you want? I went, My Uncle Dennis was a little scared, too. He didn't like that graveyard. He went, somebody dead? Did you see somebody dead? I said, yeah. And he looks just like Wayne. Uncle Dennis said, I ain't going out there. I said, Uncle Dennis, you going to walk back with the sugar? No, no, son. No, no. That's a true story. Mama never got sugar that day. I ran all the way with the sugar cup. There were roaches and bugs saying, it's Easter. Oh, this is good. Oh, we got I spilled the sugar going. I mean, just coming back, I spilled the whole sugar. That's a true story. But now I can walk around graveyards, not because I'm a man. No, the life of faith has survived the shock of death. So y'all thought I was off the sermon. Dead man walking. Live man rising. Here was a dead man, Lazarus, walking. You get over to Mark chapter 16, there's a live man rising. But before he went, he had to talk to a lady named Mary. Shut down redemption. About ready to go. She went, Jesus. He said, don't touch me, woman. Control yourself. I have not yet ascended. But you go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm alive. I'm going to make sure you see me. Why did he show himself to Mary? Because she believed him. She ran down that road. And I'll tell you what, when a woman's excited and got a message, she can run. He's alive. And Jesus ascended as a live man. Now, ladies and gentlemen, write this down. Don't prefer a graveyard to a living sanctuary. There are a lot of churches all over the world today with live people that look like statues. Don't prefer a graveyard to a living sanctuary. You ever notice, I know some of y'all, when you first start coming to this church, some of you that watch by television, you want to laugh. I know you want to laugh. But you don't think it's right to laugh. I know it. I can see it. You're going. Because you've been taught, quiet in the church. Quiet in the church. And sometimes if they pan or something like that, somebody going, you go. You've been going to a graveyard. I really believe when the Lord's going to come back, he's going to come right behind you and go, boom. I can understand that. When I first saw people dancing, I thought, Lord Jesus. Now, sometimes we believe in controlling some dancing. Because some people get slapped crazy. We had one woman in this church. She wanted to dance so much. And one of my husbands grabbed her and said, put her in the parking lot. He said, dance all over the parking lot. I got the thing. I said, what for? Can you imagine people driving up and down? There's some woman out there. Just, I don't know what people are thinking. Lord, that's a loose church. No, it's a live church. It's a live church. Don't prefer a dead graveyard to a living sanctuary. Watch this. You see, in Martha's case, some expect a future resurrection. Write this down. Some expect a future resurrection. But Jesus surprised Martha with a present one. One in himself. He said, I am the resurrection. One in himself. Not a belief in a doctrine, but a trust in a person. You see, I don't just believe this because it's doctrinally correct. Or it's homiletically, hermeneutically, philosophically, theologically, doctrinally correct. I am Dr. Duplantis. I believe it because it presents a person than just a doctrine. Let me say it again. Some expect a future resurrection, but Jesus surprised Martha with a present. One in himself. Not a belief in a doctrine, but a trust. But trust in a person. See, trust in a person. You see, the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me. And you know what? It's okay to make mistakes, but sometimes they're recorded. You know, when you're on television, watch this. Watch. I can't do nothing in my life. Everywhere I move, something follows me. Look. Now, you laughing at that. But that's like that when I'm walking around. I like to walk the French Quarter.
I like to go to Ida Manheim because she has beautiful things. It's just a blessing. We love talking to Dale and I. They're blessings of the Lord. I like seeing Mr. Wheelmeyer once in a while. I just go to, how you doing, Mr. Wheelmeyer? And people, they go, as I walk by, I don't notice it, but Kathy notices it more. She says, people walk by, they say, that's Jesse DePlantis. Now, it'd be kind of bad if I said, Kathy, I tell you one, what? But somebody's always watching. You got to be nice all the time when you're on television. Sometimes you don't want to be nice. Let's just be honest. Sometimes you don't feel like being nice. They won't let you out the parking lot. Or you only went in there for 30 minutes and they won't charge you $9. And you forgot to stamp the thing. So you say, I forgot the stamp, but look at all the bags in the back. Tough. $9. And you want to go, good Lord, man, what you trying to do? Pay the place in one day? You don't mind people being blessed? You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me so innocent. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Are you standing in line about ready to eat and someone comes in and they put someone ahead of you? And it's Easter Sunday? And you say, excuse me, excuse me. I never say nothing, Joe. I am a man, but I just go over, close to Kathy. I slap Kathy. I say, stick him. Kathy go over there, excuse me. Because see, women can do that. A lot of men are a little embarrassed. Like a woman, they can buy a gallon of milk, and if they've had it for 47 years, and they got this much left, and it went bad, they go back to the store. Y'all got to give me a new gallon of milk. When did you buy that? Before my first baby was born. And they expect a gallon of milk. Now, men don't do that. I ain't going back down there and bring that gallon of milk. So I just tell Kathy, I go, Kathy, make sure, see if they got our reservation. Those kind of things, you see. Why am I saying that? I don't know. I know why. Kathy's looking at me with them eyes. A sinner breathes in the physical, thinks in the intellectual, feels in the emotional, but is destitute of life. Now, you see, sometimes I say some things. I breathe in the physical. Sometimes I think in the intellectual. Sometimes I feel in the emotional. But it always destroys the life that's inside of me. You see, God gave me resurrection and life. So I'm more than just a Christian. I'm life and that more abundantly. I'm an example of what life should be here and what life will be there. Do you see that? An example of what life should be here and what life will be there. Now, I'm just as human as anybody else. I lose it just like anybody else. And most of the time, when you do lose it, there's somebody seeing you or watching you. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's always, and you know how your wife, you may love her more than anybody in the world or anything, but she can make you madder than anybody you ever seen. It's just something about it, and vice versa. One time I was underneath a house fixing some busted water pipes. Were you there? She probably did the same thing to her husband. That's what I know. And I told Kathy it was a hot water. I said, now listen, Kathy. Listen. She go, okay. I said, there's two knobs up here. There's the left knob, it's green, and the blue, and the right knob is blue. Okay. I said, now I want you to turn on the blue knob. Don't touch the green knob. That's the hot water. It's boiling hot. I've got the disconnect over here. Now, did you hear me? What did you say? I said, don't touch the green knob. Turn on the blue knob. Okay. And ladies and gentlemen, I was boiled like an Easter egg. She hit that green knob. Just the day before, I was trying to preach to the guy across the street. You need Jesus in your life. You know, you got a problem with your temper and all that kind of stuff. God will help you. Kathy fried me and bought it. And I'm trying to get away with the water. Bow! And then she also throwed some cactus and eat it. And I got hit with cactus. I come flying out. You crazy! You stupid! I looked across the street and Mr. Easton DePlantis was a... He looked at me and went like this. Saved. I went... Kathy said, which one did you tell me to cut on? I didn't want Mr. Easton there. I was going to drag Kathy under there. I was so mad at her. That was a dead man walking. That was not a live man rising. Kathy says, and she always says this. I'm sorry. I said, that doesn't help me. What helps me? What color is this? Is this green or is this blue? She said, that's green. Which one did I say? I forgot. Oh, we know that. We know you forgot. This is the hot one. This is the cold one. Now, let me put your hand on the cold one. This is the one I want you to try. Don't touch this hand. In fact, give me a rope. I'm going to tie this hand around your back. So when I bought the next house, I said, is it on a slab? They said, yes. I said, can I get under it? They said, no. I said, we want the house. In the resurrection, there are three gifts for you. Number one, the perfect newness of body and soul. Look at me. See my body? What's the baby crying for? I just got to show him my body. Glory to God. Oh! Terrible, isn't it? Now, when I was young, this body was good looking. What's the matter with you people? Glory to God. Let me talk to the... Forget these people. Let me talk to the... Because y'all can't say, But see, as I got older, something grabbed me over here. See that this chunk right here? What are you laughing at, Pastor? All right. Here's this big chunk. Now, your twin brother live over on this side. Now, I find the older you get, the higher your pants get. You understand? Now, when I get to heaven, when I get resurrected, when I get my new body, ooh, Lord. No more handles. My belly button will go from... Because as you get older, it flattens out. You understand what I'm saying? To a perfect zero. In the resurrection, three gifts are given. Number one, the perfect newness of body and soul. Number two, the perfect restoration of all our brethren in Christ, which means I'm going to see my grandpa, who I loved dearly, who went home to be with the Lord when I was 11 years old. His name was Gilesh Eshte. I was named after him. My name is Jaji Gilesh Duplanty. I'm a Frenchman. Well, I'm a Cajun. We don't know what we are, to tell you the truth. We got black people in our family, white people in our family, Hispanic people in our family. I'm looking for a Chinese one. I know we went somewhere. I wouldn't surprise me. We were a bunch of little heathens. Because when my ancestors got here, they married anybody they could get their hands on. So, would you like to get married? In the resurrection, three gifts are given. The perfect newness of body and soul, number one. The perfect restoration of all our brethren in Christ. Number three, life everlasting in a new heaven and a new earth. Now, what does that mean? It's always bothered me. I can understand God giving me a new earth. We have polluted this place. The water's polluted. The air is polluted. The food's polluted. It's all covered with all kinds of different cancer, carcinogenic chemicals of stuff to try to get a better produce, but it might alter one of your genes or something in your body. Why would God? I can understand him giving me a new earth because we've done so bad with it. But why would he give us a new heaven? Heaven pretty nice. Why? And I'll never forget it. Praying one time, I said, Lord, why would you give me a new heaven? I mean, heaven's nice. I've read it. It's nice. Lord Jesus, bless. Why would you get it? Why would you give us a new heaven? I can understand a new earth, but why a new heaven? He said, because this one's used. I said, excuse me? He said, it's used, Jesse. We've been living here a long, long time. He said, when I come get you, you're going to get something new. And Jesus, me, going to get something new. I'm going to give a new earth and a new heaven. Now, the throne and the city will still be there, but it'll be totally, completely brand new. God doesn't give you hand-me-down clothes, hand-me-down shoes, or a hand-me-down earth, or a hand-me-down heaven. He's going to give you a new heaven and a new earth. Now, that's that power of the resurrection. So notice, it's cutting across spiritually, physically, and financially. God has not forgot those three. He's given you a home without a mortgage. A home with light in it that doesn't cost anything in it. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. A home where there's no pressure and no stress. You don't live on Stress Street. You live on Blessed Street. Isn't that amazing? Where no sickness and disease is. where no hatred or malice is. Jesus had to come out that grave, you understand? So I thought, why you were so sure, Lord, that you would rise? He said, if I can get Lazarus out, I certainly can get myself out. You see, and the reason why, if you want to know Jesus believed in it, I don't doubt many times Jesus rehearsed the names of God. All the titles of God are names of power. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Raha, Adonai, Elohim, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, Jesus, the anointed Messiah. See, you keep rehearsing that. Glory to God, constantly. Everything God has power. Dead man walking, yeah. Live man rising. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. My mother went home to be with the Lord on an Easter Sunday, 1982, right there in La Rose area, in a hospital there. And we buried her on the West Bank of New Orleans. And I hadn't been there in years, that tomb. But I went over there, and it's showing aging and things of that nature. And somebody in the family had it whitewashed, painted, you know, fixed and all that kind of stuff. And I looked at that coal and I said, Lord Jesus, she ain't here. There's nobody in here. Even the ones that don't know the Lord, cemeteries are empty. There's no one in them. Because you see, there's no life. Because the body is not you. The real you is your spirit. That's why as you get older, your inside stays young. There's something inside of you that sparkle. Something. Then you begin to look at your body aging. See, because your spirit never ages. That's why you don't like it when your body ages. Because your inside is not. You understand what I'm saying? But your body starts aging. And you don't like that. I don't blame you. I really don't care too much about age. Kathy worries about my face because I'm always, you know, she said, you know, my face is getting a little loose. See? Now I can suck it back and make it, you know. Make it, and I got the money to do it, you know, make me look real. But I find most people that do that, let me help you ladies out. You that have had a little work. Let me help you. Get your face done. But do your neck too. Because you got this beautiful face, you got this glob of flesh hanging on your neck. Go back in the back and cut off a couple of inches from the back. Suck the neck up. You understand? Help your neck out. I see these beautiful girls. And then, as you look down the neck, you go. Do the neck, too. I know one lady. Remember, a pastor used to preach it, and I'll keep the church private in Dallas. Not only did she do her neck, she did her legs. Remember that lady? You know who? Y'all know, look at the pastor. Yeah. It wasn't Pastor Betty. It was not Pastor Betty. It was not. And I thought, I said, what's that? She said, I do my legs, too. I said, Lord. Then I called up a doctor one time. In fact, I don't mind. Jan Crouch won't mind me saying this. Jan got a hold of a doctor for me. And she said, Jesse, you want something done? I'll get anything done for you. I said, Jan. So this doctor called me and says, I'd like to speak to Dr. Duplantis. I said, I am. They said, do you need any work done? We can do anything you want. I said, I need the whole body done. I said, can you do that? He said, we can put your toes on your forehead if you'd like. I said, how much? Now, this was a few years ago. He said, $75,000. He said, I'll make you walk so tight you'll squeak when you walk. I thought, the whole body? I said, no. I said, does it hurt? He said, yes. He said, after it's over, you're going to pray for somebody to shoot you. He said, after about 3 to 4 months, your swelling will start going down and you'll look wonderful. He said, you want to do it? I said, no, I don't like pain. I've had enough pain in my life. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want pain. So I haven't had any work done. But I mean, you know, some people say, I think that's wrong to have that. That isn't wrong. That's legalism. If you lose your teeth, get some false teeth. So I'm going to tell you something. See, them lips will go all the way to the back of your head. And then your tongue kind of hang out. You know, you want some teeth. Everybody got to have some teeth in life. You understand what I'm saying? So get some. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's cosmetic, isn't it? Look at y'all. You're looking around to see if anybody got false teeth in here. I got. Some people think I do. I had a woman grab my teeth. Remember that, Kathy? Made me so mad. Stuck her fingers in my mouth. I don't know where she had been.
She said, you got your teeth are too straight to it. And she struck, grabbed my teeth. That was at y'all church. Remember that lady, that girl? That was it. That's why I got passed out of there, man. Praise God, get him out of there. Now, I'm not telling y'all what church. I've been knowing David for many, many years. Glory to God. She said, nah, nobody's teeth can be that perfect. Well, mine was, you know, mine. And I close with this. My mama believed in a resurrecting power that could bring things forward. When I was a little boy, and I got pictures to prove it, I had milk teeth. I sucked the bottle until I was 6 years old. Ooh, what's your problem, woman? Ain't my fault that mama warned me. I liked that bottle. But after a while, I wouldn't say it. I would just... I took the bottle to school with me. No. And it messed his teeth up. I ain't kidding you, man. I like that bottle. I still like to drink out of a jar. How many of y'all like to drink out of them old jars? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's how we were raised poor, ladies and gentlemen. So I was glad to have any kind of glass. I wasn't going to leave anything. And these two teeth here, see these? Was growing in my palate. Literally, way back here. So mama took me to the dentist, and the dentist said, Mrs. Duplantis, that boy is going to have very crooked teeth and stuff like that. Because now he said, I'm going to pull these four teeth, and I got pictures to prove it. I'm going to pull these four teeth out. And he said, they're going to come forward, but they're going to come crooked. He's going to need all kinds of work. Mama said, well, I don't have that kind of money. He said, well, it's going to take that kind of money to do it. She said, well, I shall pray to the physician of physicians. And I remember thinking, oh, here we go with this God stuff. And ladies and gentlemen, I have not had braces. Look at my teeth. None. Mama prayed over my teeth. She said, Lord, I don't have the money, but I command them teeth to come forward. Now, they didn't come forward in the first day, by no means. It took about 8 months, but they began to come up. First, I kind of looked like a little rabbit. And I thought, I could see them coming forward. And I thought, God, I hope they stop. But then I'm going to look like a little neutral by the time it's all finished. A little nutria, you know. I said, Mama, can you make them stop? That's a true story of my life. Mama said, yeah, the Lord will make them stop. I said, I don't know the Lord. You need to get saved. I said, how long? Can I tell you? She said, you're nothing but a little heathen. See, the devil had been trying to kill me for years. I was totally paralyzed from my waist down when I was 6 years old. A refrigerator fellow man just, and they said I'd never walk again. Mama put the prayer on me. She said, we ain't got time. We can't pay for no wheelchair. You think I'm kidding you? I'm serious like me. Ain't got no mama, no wheelchair. Lord, heal that boy. I never forget, I could play with my legs like this. It didn't hurt. It's true. I mean, it wasn't funny. A refrigerator fell on me, hit me right in the back. Pow! I'm walking pretty good, huh? Took about a year. Life came back into my legs. Had a praying mama. Yet that did not get me saved. You would have think I'd have got saved, huh? You see? Because you see, until you have a change of heart, you'll never accept Christ. You might accept what he does, because that's called selfishness. But when you accept him, when you quit making him, quote, a doctrine or a creed, and you make him a person, he'll come into your life. It's Resurrection Sunday. We've been celebrating Easter all this week between Palm Sunday. Think about that, man. Jesus coming in on Palm Sunday. Oh, and they had all those beautiful palms waving. It was a time of great, great. Well, he was speaking future, yet people couldn't see it. Stand to your feet right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I've learned something about people, and I want you to hear this. A lot of people give Jesse Duplantis a lot of compliments. It's very kind of you, and I thank you for being so courteous to me. But you know what? They gave Jesus a lot of compliments on Palm Sunday week. They said, Hosanna in the highest. And the same people said, crucify him. Until we get rid of the devil, until we learn to bind him, which we have that power of attorney to do so, he can change your Hosanna in the highest to crucify him. Now you may understand why I believe so much in this Christ, you that are watching in Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Qatar, Syria, Jordan, Israel. Why do I believe this so much? Because you see, once I was dead, not physically,
but dead inside. And Jesus approached me. And a resurrection took place. But I still had an opportunity to reject him. But I didn't. I received him, and I received life, and that more abundantly. Totally, completely misunderstanding Christianity. Thought I could never own anything. Thought that maybe if I was sick or had an affliction in my body, but I would persevere and take that persecution from that sickness, that God would love me more. And ladies and gentlemen, as a metaphor, I crawled through the Bible as a crippled man, accepting every sickness and every disease that would come my way, thinking God would teach me something. I thought if I would get poor and I would give everything away, God would love me. So I crawled to his throne many times in the beginning of my Christianity, thinking I was doing right. But you know what he did? He got off that throne. And he said, "Rise, Jesse. Not only are you resurrected, you have life. What is all this baggage?" He says, "Man's inhumanity to man." I said, "Well, set me free." He said, "I've already done it. But why do I have this?" And then he took his eyes off of me and looked at the body of Christ and gave them a commission concerning my life. Loose him and let him go. And I went to a church just like this. And I met a pastor just like David. I had been going to the wrong place. I went in walking with great burden. The first thing that minister did was begin to take off those death rags and show me my new robe of righteousness that I could not see because of all the weight of sickness, poverty. When I took all of that off, he gave me the power to get healed. I noticed it said power of healing, power of salvation. And the last thing I saw was power to get wealth. Because Deuteronomy 8 says that. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. I said, is that the same power to get healed? The same power to get saved? The same power to get resurrected? He said, yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a free man. Totally, completely resurrected with life. Isn't that amazing? I know it's 12:15 here in the city of New Orleans. It may be at night when you're watching this program. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to become free. But I'm going to also give those Christians that have been crawling through the Bible, crawling through religion, going to church and never getting nothing out of it. Always being a burden instead of a blessing. Always down, hurting. We're going to loose you and let you go. And you know what will happen? You listen to me and all you that are here present. God will bless you spiritually. He will bless you physically. He will bless you financially. But you see, you got to be more than dead man walking. You got to be live man rising. God. And when you come out of that heap, he will set you free. If you don't know Jesus today, I invite you to invite him into your life. Take the person's hand next to you, would you please? And all you all over the world that are watching this telecast, pray this prayer with me. And you here at Coming to Church, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me.
for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth, Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Today I accept Christ, the resurrected Christ, the living Christ into my life. I'm a dead man walking. Now I'm a live man rising. In Jesus' name we pray.